Sure.
We was hoping we'd get in, get somebody.
Yeah, I'm trying.
That's all right.
You thought you were going to have a business with that.
That's what I was. If I'd have seen that early, I'd have asked you about it. I do need your prayers as I stand before you. I am very, very thankful for what the Lord has already given us today. We don't understand what a blessing it is to gather and sing the songs and that honor and glorify the Lord and have fellowship with one another. And it is true. We do from time to time understand that, but there's a lot of times we just kind of take all that for granted. And I wouldn't want us to ever do that. Certainly as a minister of the gospel, I want to encourage you. Every time we come to the meeting house, recognize that we don't know whether this may be the very last time we ever get to gather with the Lord's people. We don't know what a day is going to bring for us. We don't know that we'll have the health and the ability to come. We want to cherish every moment. And that's really true of every day of your life, but especially when we have the opportunity to come to the house of God to worship the Lord. And I just pray that He will continue to be with us today and continue to bless us as we look for a little while at His Word. I feel the Lord's been good to us in the prayer that has been offered, as well as the songs that have been sung and the things that have been shared by the brethren, even their concerns for one another. And even as I've mentioned some, there are several I know we failed to mention. Brother Melvin Jackson, we want to keep Brother Melvin in our prayers. And of course, that'll always be the case. There will be those that come to our minds that we should not all be overlooking. Just pray for me for a little while as I stand before you this morning. I'd like to call your attention to an Old Testament passage found in the book of Jeremiah. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn to the book of Jeremiah, I'd like to read to you from chapter 9 and read verses 23 and 24 in the book of Jeremiah. If the Lord will bless us for a little while, consider what this passage teaches us. We know we have both the Old and the New Testament in the Word of God. And the old things, the things that are written in the Old Testament were written for our learning, for our instruction, just as well as the things that are in the New Testament. It's all part of what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, of the all Scripture that's given by inspiration of God, that's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, it's written for the little child of God, that he might be perfect, that is complete, truly furnished unto all good works. So if we didn't have the Old Testament, we wouldn't have the complete instruction that we need. If we didn't have the New Testament, we certainly wouldn't have the complete instruction that we need. But in the Old and New Testament, and that which God has preserved for us, we have that which truly furnishes us and is relevant for us in this day and age in which we're living. Certainly this passage is that. If you read the entirety of the book of Jeremiah, I certainly encourage us all to do that, you'll see that Jeremiah was talking to a very rebellious people. He's talking to the children of Israel in their rebellion. And he was warning them about the judgments, the chastisements that were going to come upon them because of their rebellion against God. And I think if we all look at our lives, we can see that certainly we need to read some of that in order to understand that it's important for us to be obedient to the Lord. Today, we're not concerned and should not be concerned that the Lord is going to eternally cast us away from Him, eternally dismiss us from His presence, eternally separate us from Himself. Though that's what we would deserve if we got just what we deserve by our own efforts and by our own works. None of us would ever merit heaven, and all of us by our very actions would deserve the judgment of God, even in eternal torment in hell. And I know that seems harsh to the natural mind, but to the spiritual mind that's been awakened by God, we understand that if we got just what we deserve based on our righteousness and our goodness, which in reality we have none, then we'd be eternally cast away from the Lord. I wouldn't want today to try in any way cause any one of you to be afraid or be fearful about that. I want you to understand from the Scripture that the Lord loves His people with an everlasting love. And He deals with them in love. Even when He chastens them. Even when He corrects them. Like a father has to correct a child. You don't hate the child when you correct the child. You love the child. But you know in order to help the child, he needs instruction. And so there are times that chastisements are necessary. As sure as you love a child, every child, because of their nature, because they're like their mom and daddy, they fall and come short and they're going to need some correction. Sometimes you might ask, why is my child like this? Well, all you have to do is look in the mirror and you'll see why your child's like they are. Because they, as the folks have said a long time, the acorn doesn't fall too far from the tree. And because we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we can count on our children sinning and coming short of the glory of God. And that is going to be true as long as we are here in this world. And so what we want to do is remember that we have to be concerned about following the Lord, but we don't want to be so concerned that we lose any idea or thought that salvation is anything but by grace. That's all. That's the only hope you and I have of being with the Lord in heaven. The only hope of being with Him in glory is by the grace of Almighty God. Just as that's true, our only hope of getting through here in this world is going to be by the grace of Almighty God. And yet it's important that you and I listen to Him and heed Him and follow Him. And there's a great benefit in doing that. And there's also great chastisements that come when we fail to do that. I read last night from Psalms 19, and one of the verses there keeps coming back to my mind. It's speaking about the Word of God and the teaching of God's Word in the 11th verse of the 19th Psalm. He says, "More to be desired are they," that's the 10th verse, that's good. "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb." So today what I have before you as I read to you from the Word of God and try to speak from it, I have something that's more valuable to you than gold. It's more valuable than gold, even much fine gold, than much silver and gold. I have something to share in the Word of God that'll be of more benefit to you than if I could fill your bank account with all the money that you want and more. I have something of much more value to you than that. Now, not all the world can see that. If they could see it, they'd be knocking the doors down to get in here. If you don't believe that, all you have to do is say, "We're giving away gold over here at certain place," and you just watch the crowds come. And as much as you want, you can have and come get it. It's all free. They'd knock the doors down to come. Do you know every little house of God that's meeting today where the truth is being preached is dispensing from the storehouse of heaven a value that's worth more than all the gold that you could ever put in your bank account. It's better than your health. Now, we know how valuable your health is. But this is more valuable than your health. To know these things, to know the Lord and to understand Him and to have some understanding of what He's done for you is more valuable than your natural health, your physical health, or any other health. All of that comes from the Lord. You can't buy it, you can't pay for it, and it's very valuable, and we certainly need it. But I'm telling you, this is more valuable spiritually. Your spiritual health is more valuable than your natural health. One day, no matter what we do, our natural health is going to fade away, and we're going to lose it. It's going to be gone. But that which we have in the Lord we'll never lose. And when we're out of this old world and we're with the Lord forever, we'll enjoy that spiritual health that comes from the Lord forever. We'll also have those spiritual riches that come from Him forever. And we'll also be talking about, and somebody might say, "What are we going to do in heaven?" I'm telling you, we're going to talk about the same wonderful things. That is what Jesus has done for His people. The love of God for His children. The watch care of God for His children. How God is taking care of us here in this time world. how God loved us so much that He came and died for us, that one day, though we don't deserve it, He's going to carry us to heaven. You know, won't it be wonderful there? Wouldn't be a song we could sing if Jesus didn't come to the cross and die so that you and I could be there. There'd be no hope for me. There'd be no hope for you if it was left up to us. If it was left up to me to get you there, I can't get myself there, much less help you get there. And if it was in the preacher's hands to save us, we'd be in awful, pitiful hands. There's some saving the preacher can do, but it isn't for heaven and immortal glory. It's to dispense to you the wonderful truth of salvation by grace and what Jesus has done for His people. And if you have that in your heart, and I can't give you the hunger for that, I can't give you the desire for that, but if you have the hunger for that, and you have the desire for that, then the Lord can bless us to give you that truth, and it will satisfy and meet that hunger and that desire that only God can do. And when we do that, we want to do it in such a way that only God gets the glory. You know when God's people are happy? When they're glorifying the Lord. You know when God's people are really riding high, so to speak? It's not when they get lifted up in themselves. They're about to fall. If they're not in the fall already, they're just about there when we get lifted up in ourselves. But when God's little children come and hear the word of truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and what the Lord has done for us, and because of what Jesus did for us, we got heaven that awaits us. We got a promise that though we go through troubles and trials in this world, He said, I'll never leave you. Is that true? And I'll never forsake you. So that you and I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do to me. And brethren, if the Lord's given you that hunger and that appetite and that ability to know these things, you are a blessed, blessed character. And you have a value more worth more than all the gold of this world and all the riches of this world and all the might of this world and all the wisdom of this world. You have that which only God can give. And if we're going to glory in anything today, let it not be in us, but let it be in the Lord who gives us all good things. He said in that 11th verse, He says, moreover, He says, sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. He said, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Jeremiah, the whole book is a warning to God's little children. A warning to us. A warning to us to keep our eyes on what's most important. Today, it's easy for us to get our eyes off things that they ought to be on and off Him who it ought to be on and on the things of this world. And when we do that, we're like those in the book of Jeremiah that he marveled at somebody. I'm all over the place already. That's okay. In Jeremiah chapter 2, I believe it is, he says over there in verse 9 in Jeremiah chapter 2, he said, wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Now what is Jeremiah saying to them? He says, I'm warning you. And by the word of God will warn you. And it also says, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. In other words, in keeping of what the Scripture tells us, there are some benefits and blessings that you'll enjoy when you keep these things. And there are blessings that you will miss and lose that have been purchased for you when you forget these things. So I want you to remember. It's my duty and my responsibility to remind you. It's your duty and your responsibility when your pastor forgets to remind him. And we want to remind one another, look, we have a Lord to look to and a Lord to depend upon. So when it's time to come to church, we want to look to the Lord to bless our preacher to preach. We want to look to the Lord to fill our song service with such a zeal that we just can't hardly, you know those good song services, not when you're just glad they're over, but when you just want them to keep on going. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm glad the singing's done. It may have been a time in your life. I know some of you have expressed that. When you got to the singing part of the service, you kind of go like, well, I'll be done this in a minute. I'll be glad when they get through this because it's just not, I'm not getting much out of it. You know, reason we sometimes don't get much out of it is because we're not putting anything into it. And we're thinking about it the wrong way. And I'm not saying you just get out what you put in. I'm saying you put in a little and you get out a lot. When you focus, and when you do what you can do, when you do like the little widow, she's done what she could. When you lift up your voice and praise the God and you pay attention to the hymns that you're singing, those hymns speak to us, and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and the Lord talks to us. I've come in many a time at church and just feel really, really low, and by the end of the song service, feel really uplifted. It ought not be the other way around. And that's why when we sing, we ought to sing from our heart. And we sing from our heart praises to the Lord. And you recognize that your singing and your participation in that is just as important as the preacher being in the pulpit. Because it's your opportunity to make a confession with your mouth, praises unto God, where you're able to say, Lord, thank Thee. We speak to the Lord. We talk about the Lord. Those songs, so many of them are simple prayers, where we pray to the Lord and we tell Him how great things that He has done, and we thank Him for what He's done for us. And we make expressions that say, Lord, we're going to trust and depend upon Thee, and we're going to lean upon Thee. And the Lord gives us that. And that's so very important for God's little children to make that confession with their mouth. And you do that unto salvation. That isn't how you get to heaven, but it sure helps you right now, doesn't it? Sure helps me. I love to see the congregation singing. Helps me to see them sing. I love to hear them sing. And sometimes it sounds really, really good, and sometimes in a natural way it doesn't sound so hot. You know, it sounds like a, you know, sometimes it doesn't make, you know, it sounds like, that's why I said make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That means we're to lift up our voice as much as in us is to praise. And then when it comes time for the prayer, it's a time when God's little children communicate to the Lord. We're able to talk to the Lord. Oh, what the hymn writer said, sweet hour prayer. How wonderful it is to be able to get down on our knees this morning and just say, Lord, help me. Lord, thank Thee. Isn't it good to thank Your Lord? Just to thank the Lord for what He's given you, for those that are sitting beside you, for those that are sitting around you, for the goodness and mercy of the Lord that's kept you this moment and to this hour. The Lord, if we look at what He's been, has the Lord been good to you today? I ask you, has God been good to you? And I know the answer to that before I ask that question. The Lord, and the hymn writer said it this way, the Lord has been so good to me, I want to praise His name. I want to glorify His name all my remaining days. I want to give Him the glory and the honor and the praise. And that's what He said. He said, moreover, by them is Thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And then in Jeremiah 2 and verse 9, He said, wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim, and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. In other words, He's about to show us something that seems just unbelievable. He says, and the Lord is saying this, He says, Hath a nation changed their God, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. In other words, you look at the nations of this world who worship idols, and those idols don't help them a bit. You know why an idol doesn't help you? Because it can't help you. It doesn't have any eyes to see with, doesn't have any ears to hear with, doesn't have any hands to be able to move. You can pray to it, and you can that bow down before it, but it can't do anything because it's not anything. It is not anything. It doesn't have any power. There is no God but God. There is only one God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The God of Israel. The God of God's elect people. There's one Lord, and there's no Savior beside Him. And He says, yet a nation doesn't change their false idols and go to other idols, even though there's no benefit to them. And yet, my people leave the one who has helped them down through the years to try to lean on other things. And before we say, well, boy, who is that that does that? I want you to know I'm talking to each and every one of us. This is a warning, not for other people. It's for God's little children, for us. To remember who has helped us this far, who has taken care of us this far. He says, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. And get this. He says, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and horribly afraid, be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. It's a dangerous thing when God's little children forget the Lord and try to handle things on their own. And I'm not only talking about the big things, I'm talking about the little things. I'm talking about everything in your life. If it's driving to New York, if it's getting back home, if it's going through the rest of the day, if it's me coming here this morning to try to preach, and I think, well, if I can just get this done and that done and that done, I'll be okay. I want you to know, without the Lord, I will not be a benefit to God's little children. It takes the Lord to bless us, and it's the Lord who will do that. And if it's you sitting there on the bench and you think, well, you need the Lord to help you through in order to learn from His Word. And then whatever we have to face this week, we need to trust in the Lord. He said this in verse 13, and get who it is. He says, for my people have committed two evils. Now, who is it that committed the two evils? His people. They were not His people. They were His people. Who was it Jeremiah was talking to and warning? It was the Lord's people. Who is it that we preach to? It's the Lord's people. A lot of people are trying to preach to people to make them His people. But I'm telling you, that's going to be a waste of time. That will never happen. We will never be able to preach enough to make someone who isn't a little child of God a child of God. As a matter of fact, God's children have been chosen in Christ Jesus already before the foundation of the world. And all of my preaching will never add to one of them, nor take from them. And I'm not to try to preach to make them children of God. I'm to preach to the children of God and to warn them not to be guilty of the two evils that they were guilty of in Jeremiah's day. And what was those two evils? He says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. You know, that's exactly what we do anytime we don't trust in the Lord. Do all of us trust in the Lord all the time? I hope none of us are so bold to say, yes, I do. I hope you understand there are times that I failed to do that. I hope it's fewer with you than it is with me. I really would love to know and understand that. But I'm saying to you, whenever we forsake the Lord, it's like we commit two evils. First of all, we forsake Him who is what? He's the fountain of living waters. That means He's the source of everything good in my life. He's the source of everything good in your life. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. We go over to the book of James, and he tells us that over in James's writing, and often I try to quote that and end up misquoting it. So we'll read that in your hearing this morning, if the Lord will bless us, to find it over in the book of James. He says in verse 17 of James chapter 1, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And really, that's what that is telling us, is not only the gifts the Lord gives us to be what we are, but every good thing we have in our life, everything beneficial to us in our life, it cometh from above. That means it comes down from heaven. And cometh down from the Father of lights. He is the fountain of living water. He is the Father of lights. He is the source of all the light, all the goodness in our lives. All of that has come from God. Everything good in your life and in my life has come from the Lord. And I know you already know that this morning, but I want to remind you again. I want to tell you that over and over again. Every time you come, I want you to know that. I want you to know the goodness that's in your life came from the Lord. We can't hear that too much. That way, when we're in trouble, we won't try to take care of it ourselves, but we'll turn to the Lord who has been our help. And has been our strength, and has been our stronghold, and been our defense, and He is our mighty tower, He is our rock, He's our salvation, He's our, as the hymn writer said, He's my all in all. Jesus is my all in all. He's my everything. We want to preach that and teach that over and over again. He says in verse 17 of James 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And that's a God that we can sing, great is thy faithfulness, because He won't change. Men change all the time. You can't count on them. They're fickle. But God is not like that. You can trust Him, lean upon Him every single day. And He says, isn't it amazing? Oh, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and ye be ye horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. You know, we have a Lord that called us out of nature's darkness and to His marvelous light. He worked in us when we weren't looking for Him. He found us when we weren't seeking Him. He came where we were, and like the Good Samaritan, He had just what we needed. He put us on his donkey, and he carried us to the inn. And in the church house, he's given us everything that we stand in need of. He's truly furnished us with his word. And rather than trust in his word, many times we want to figure it out on our own. We try to do what he has already done for us. Brethren, what I want you to say, I want to say to you is just be still and trust and wait and lean upon the Lord. And he will lead us and he will guide us and he'll direct us through the storms of life. And when we trust and lean upon him, we're looking to the fountain of living waters. And he said, not only did they do that, but they've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They've hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And I really didn't know much about a cistern until I married Sharon. And when I married Sharon, I'm going to better get this straight. When I married Sharon, we went over to her mom's house. And when I found out that her mom didn't have a well, but she had a cistern. And she had to have that filled up with water and have it cleaned out. It's a lot of work in a cistern. It's not like a fountain of living waters. You know, it's a lot of work in keeping up a cistern. And it's a lot of work in making a cistern. You gotta dig a big hole. You gotta do some labor to make a cistern. And then and the Lord's people that are not trusting in the Lord, they've hewn them out cisterns. Now, if we had a cistern that could help us, then that might be of some benefit. She's got a cistern and it does work and it's been a benefit and it's holding up fine for her. But it's not as good as a well. It's not as good as a fountain of living waters. But if it was a cistern that worked, do you know what's wrong with our cistern? Our cistern doesn't work. We got a broken cistern. You and I are not going to make it without the Lord. You and I might think we can make it. We might be trying to make it. We might be feeling like we have enough wisdom to go on our own without the Lord. We might be thinking, if I just get enough money, I can make it through. Sometimes I think if I could just win that publisher's clearinghouse, I could solve a whole lot of problems. I know Charles would be a whole lot better off this morning if I could help him a little more. But I'm telling you, you can't get better than what we already have. You can't get any better than a God who's promised to stay with us in every storm. You can't get enough money in your bank account to be better than that. You can't get enough wisdom by going to all the schools of this world to get smarter than that. You can't get enough might and strength on your own to make it on your own. We have the Lord who said He would be with us in every trouble and every trial. The 23rd Psalm isn't just something to read. It's something that's real and true. The Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, I can say I shall not want. Brethren, you and I, sometimes we don't live like that, do we? We don't think that. We hear it sometimes, and at church we feel it and we can get lifted up. But then when we get hit with all the trials and the troubles of this world, we want to go try to find something different, someone else who can help us. I'm telling you, all we're doing is hewing out cisterns. And they're not good ones. They're just broken cisterns. What did he say about them? He says, they can hold no water. They won't be what you need and what will benefit you. Now, I'm going to read my text. I may have already said everything I know about it in my efforts to get to it. But it's a wonderful text. He said in verse 23 of Jeremiah 9, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." And again, this is a warning that's come from the Word of God. By these truths, thy servant is warned, and in keeping them there is much reward. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." Now, it didn't say you ought not be thankful for the wisdom that you have. I think the Lord has blessed us with a certain amount of natural wisdom that you and I ought to be very, very thankful for. There's nothing wrong with natural wisdom. Nothing wrong with going to school and learning the natural things of this world. And anytime you're able to do that, you just thank the Lord that you're able to do it and you'll be all right. Nothing wrong with that. He didn't say it was anything wrong with having wisdom. This verse doesn't say there's anything wrong with having might or strength. Strength is a blessing. I miss the days when I could just do the things I used to do and be able to get things done when I have something to do. Now I'll go to do a task and my foot won't work or my hand won't work, or when I try to do them, I get sore and things bother me and trouble me. I miss that. But I'm thankful for the strength the Lord has given me. And we should be thankful for that. And when I was young, I was thankful then, but not nearly as thankful as I ought to be. I tell you, you appreciate what you have after you lose it sometimes more than when you had it. But he says, let not the mighty man glory in his might. He didn't say, don't be thankful for it. There are some mighty men, and we need to understand that the Lord does bless us at times with a measure of strength. It's talking about natural strength. It's also talking about spiritual strength. It's talking about natural wisdom, and it's also talking about spiritual wisdom. And then he says, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Is there anything wrong with riches? If the Lord gives you riches, is there anything wrong with that? The answer to that is absolutely not. There's not anything wrong with the riches as long as we don't set our affections upon them, as long as we don't begin to love them, and as long as we don't glory in them. You see, he didn't say it was anything wrong with having wisdom. He didn't say it was anything wrong with having might. He didn't say it was anything wrong with having the riches. He simply said, we are not to glory in them. Which means to think we got them on our own, or to become bragging or boastful in them, or getting into the place where we trust in them and lean upon them. I want us to understand that those things are blessings that God has given us, but they're not that which is sustaining us. They're not where we can really trust and depend. And the thing that you and I should be most happy about, most thankful for, what we can glory in, is to glory in the Lord. You know why a wise man should not glory in his wisdom? Because he can lose that wisdom so very quickly. You know, I think of that, remember over in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, who said and looked at the kingdom that he had made, and he said, oh, look at this wonderful kingdom that I've made. How great and how mighty my works have done and how much I've done. And before evening, he was out in the field. The Bible says, eating grass with the oxen, and had lost his mind, and had, I don't know what that looked like, but hair that like eagle feathers, I don't know what that would look like, and claws, his fingernails had grown like claws, like birds' claws, and I'll tell you, that would be a sight to see. But he got himself in a real mess until the Lord brought him back to understand that every bit of the things that he had been given to him by Almighty God. Now what I want us to see, if the Lord has blessed you with a measure of wisdom, be thankful to the Lord for that wisdom. Don't glory in it. He says, let not the man glory in it. He says, if the Lord has given you a measure of strength, be thankful for that strength, but don't give God all the glory for that. And if you have some riches and the Lord has blessed you with the goods of this world, and really if you think about how you and I live compared to how men have lived down through history, there's not a one of us in here today that really isn't rich, comparatively speaking, with folks around that have lived in this world. God has been so good to me, has he not been to you? And he says, let not the man the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, neither let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this. And here's what he says we should be thankful for. He says that he understandeth and knoweth me. And you know why you and I know him? Is because somewhere along in our life, he came to us and allowed us by his grace to know him. Over in the book of Hebrews, I'll read that real quickly in your hearing, in Hebrews chapter 8. He said in verse 10, he said, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. If God hadn't done that for you and me, you and I wouldn't love him or know him today. He's the one who came to us. We didn't in our wisdom come to God. The Bible says the world by wisdom knew not God. Today, if you can love the Lord, it's because he first loved you. If you know him, it's because he first knew you. It says, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. He says, for all shall know me. Who's going to know him? All of them. Every one of his children. Which of them? Every one of them. From the least to the greatest. And then he says this about those he comes to. He says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Is that good news to you today? That he's going to be merciful to your unrighteousness? And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's a promise of Almighty God. Do we have something to boast in there? Not in ourselves, but in what the Lord has done for me. You know, somebody said that they were going to church and all they were going to talk about is what me and the Lord has done. And what I've done is done all the sinning, and what the Lord has done is all the saving. And that's exactly where we are today. That's where what we have done is sinned and come short of the glory of God. He says that you understand and know Him. And if you can understand that today, you have a lot to be thankful for. He says, I am the Lord, for that I am the Lord which exercise love and kindness. When did the Lord exercise love and kindness towards us? Well, when we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, He exercised love and kindness. When He foreknew us, when He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son, He showed us love and kindness. When He effectually called us, He showed us loving kindness. When Jesus came into this world and took our sins in His own body and died on the cross and justified us, He showed us loving kindness. When He comes again and carries us out of this world to be with Him, He will yet in the future show us loving kindness. And even as we sit here this morning and try to worship Him, and we feel His presence, and we can feel that He's near. I hope you felt that this morning. I hope you felt a closeness to the Lord. He's shown us loving kindness. You know when He's going to change from showing us that loving kindness? Never. Even when He chastens us and corrects us and doesn't let us get away with it, He shows us loving kindness. That's the Lord that we're talking about. And He shows us also judgment. You know when He showed us His judgment? When He poured out His wrath on His only begotten Son, the judgment of God was satisfied. And our judgment was taken care of there at Calvary. And because of what Jesus did, God is a righteous judge and letting us go free. You see, He didn't just let us go free without someone making the payment. Jesus made the payment, and because He's made the payment, you and I have been set free. We're guilty, but He took our guilt. And He'll not remember any of those things against us anymore. And He not only exercised judgment, but He also exercised righteousness. You look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll see nothing wrong in what Jesus did. Pilate judged Him and he said, I find no fault in Him. You know why he said that? Because there was no fault in Him. If there had been one fault in the Lord Jesus Christ, then His sacrifice would have been in vain and you and I would be yet in our sins. But the very fact Jesus rose from the dead proves that He was a Savior who offered a sacrifice that was acceptable unto God, which means there was no sin in Him, no fault, nothing wrong whatsoever. And that payment was made in full so that His righteousness then became our righteousness. He imputed that righteousness unto us, and today you and I stand before the Lord righteous through what Jesus has done for us. Can you glory in that? All the wise man can't glory in his wisdom. The rich man can't glory in his riches. The mighty man should not glory in his might. But God's little children can glory in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. What He did for us in the past, what He's doing for us right now, and what He will do for us yet in the future. And all of those promises are yea and amen in Him. He says, this judgment, He does it in the earth. He said, get this, for in these things the Lord said, I delight, saith the Lord. So where does that bring us this morning? We ought to trust in Him and lean upon Him. When you see me digging out a cistern, tell me to quit digging. I appreciate that. I'm going to try to do that with you as well. Try to be faithful to one another. Faithful to the Lord. Don't let us not try to do for ourselves what only God can do. We're to do what the Lord would have us to do, but we can only do that with the strength He gives us. And what He calls us to do and gives us to do, He will give us the ability. He'll make us able in that which He's given us to do. So don't trust in yourself and lean upon yourself. It's like digging out a cistern, and it's a broken cistern that can hold no water. And that's an evil before the Lord. Let us rather trust in Him, who is the what? He's the fountain of living waters. And when we look, do there, you'll have all you need in this world. And that's good news for a thirsty soul. Doesn't mean much to one who isn't thirsty, but it means a whole lot to God's little children who recognize, I just can't make it. Are you there? I can't make it without Him. I need Him every step of the way. I need Him. I need Him right now as I'm facing whatever I've got to face right now in my life. And no matter what, I need Him. I don't have the wisdom, the strength, or the riches to be able to handle. But in Him, I have all that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.
Brother Gary, could we sing Adoration?
She called for Adoration. I heard another number. Okay. One. We got two numbers. So. Sister Joyce, we had one before you.
Okay, that's okay.
Okay. Jesus paid it all. It's a good one.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
136.
We could go on into another meeting. 136. Jesus paid it all.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in thee thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin I left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
Let me publish the open door of the church. There'll be one more here that has a desire to take up their cross, follow the Lord in baptism, desire to unite with this church or any sister churches represented. If that burden is in your heart, you lay that down and come let your feelings be known. And I know the brethren would love to hear from any who feel led in that way. We know all that comes from the Lord. It's the Lord who does that, and we trust in Him for it. And we're looking to 136, seeing second verse now of 136.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. For nothing good am I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
131.
Bless his heart.
Bless your heart.
Be quick, you want to get your number, do you? Life is groovy.
There you go. Bob missed her.
Bob missed her.
No, I can't.
How about that tree?
Oh, it's good to see the man. Next weekend, the Lord willing, we'll be meeting at Union Church, Summer Duck, on Saturday. And beginning at 10 o'clock in the morning, we have services all day there. We'd love to have any and all that could come and be with us there at Union Church. We meet also on Sunday morning, starting at 10 o'clock, and meet all day on Sunday as well. And that's Union meeting, that's the next one we have. That takes care of about all of September. We have some coming up in October. We'll be mentioning them as we get closer to them. Just can't say how much it means to have each and every one who's been here today. Continue to pray for one another. Very, very thankful to see those that have been away from us back. And I see some of them who's kind of working through the pain and working through a lot of things. I appreciate your efforts. And I know there's a great reward and benefit. Not that we deserve anything, but the Lord gives us grace in grace. And when we walk in the grace that He's given us, when we walk in the light that He's given us, there's a blessing in doing that. And I pray the Lord will just help us do that better and better so that we won't be digging out broken cisterns that can hold no water, but we'll be trusting in the Lord. He's a fountain of living waters. And that's two evils that we surely don't want to be guilty of. That the Lord admonished and judged the people of Israel for. Great judgment fell upon them right after the prophet Jeremiah weep, and he even knew when he was speaking to them they weren't going to listen, but he was faithful to preach what the Lord gave him to preach. And so pray for our ministers that they would do that for our little churches. Pray for one another. Anything else that you know of and need to mention before we dismiss? All minds are clear, then we'll stand and look to the Lord in dismission. And I'm going to ask Brother Terry if you would come, Brother Terry. Come on up. Dismiss us in a word of prayer. A word of prayer. I love you, brother. God bless you. Let's pray.
Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for once again that we have been gathered together at this special place. Lord, as we live in a world that waxes worse and worse, Father, that calls good evil and evil good, Lord, it's good that we are our dear brother, Lord. We look to you, Lord. You, Lord, who are truth and light and liberty. Our Savior God, Father, yes, sir. Lord, all you've done for us, and yet we, even the children, this thing is so much. Lord, we thank you for the discipline you give us, Lord, and you so much need, Father. Lord, we'd ask that we walk better than we might not need that discipline, Lord. We are reminded that we're children. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we pray for our leaders to take our way. Lord, that you bless us, Father. That you continue to bless this country, even though yet it's full of sin, Lord. There are still your children there. Father, we ask that you'll watch over us and give us a better law. Lead us in a better way, Father, that we might better obey you, Father, that we glorify thy holy name. Lord, again, that we might hear the word, not just hear the word. That you draw our hearts closer to thee, Father, that you lead us to sit down and study thy word, Father, and rejoice in it and praise thy holy and precious name. We thank you for one another here, Lord, for the love in this assembly, Father, and in our sister churches. We pray for pastors there and for the dear brethren. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' holy and precious name.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Really enjoyed it. Amen.